You're listening to The Martial Brain, the podcast that explores the intersection between the martial arts, science, critical thinking, skepticism, and that wacky organ that floats inside our skull in a pool of cerebrospinal fluid, making life unpredictably inspiring, infuriating, and sometimes just batshit crazy. I'm Jeff Westfall for The Martial Brain. Brain myths. The primary basis for the existence of this podcast is the human brain. The most complicated structure in the known universe, our brain has built our civilization. And ironically, it may also lead to that civilization's downfall. It gave us Da Vinci, Newton, Einstein, Jigoro Kano, Bruce Lee, and Marcelo Garcia. But it also gave us Caligula, Stalin, Pol Pot, Osama bin Laden, and Vladimir Putin. With the exception of Putin, I purposely didn't name martial artists in this second list, but I'm sure you can each fill in your own entries. Our brain is simultaneously our greatest asset and our greatest liability. Learning to understand it is our greatest challenge. Standing in the way of this understanding is yet another list, the list of popular myths about the brain. Each time we learn something new about this organ, some people take the new data and extrapolate from it into the realm of the ridiculous. In other words, most of the myths about the brain stem from misinterpretation and oversimplification of discoveries about it over the last couple of decades. Today I'll try to dispel some of these misconceptions. The first, and perhaps the silliest myth about the brain, is that we only use 10%, or some other small fraction, of this vital structure. This myth was even the basis for a recent film with Scarlett Johansson entitled Lucy. The origin of the 10% myth is hard to pin down, but it goes back at least to the late 1800s. Some of the earliest discoveries about the brain were made at this time, and it's important to remember that the sum total of all of them only advanced our knowledge of the brain by a minuscule amount. The scientific method was still in its early days, so rigorous methodology and critical thinking were still sorely lacking, even among some of the most brilliant thinkers in the nascent field of brain science. Somewhere in these earliest days of brain research, this notion of only using 10% of the brain took hold, almost surely through misinterpretation of evidence. The myth has grown through the decades to the point where it's ingrained in our culture. But in hindsight, it is obviously wrong for so many reasons. For one, it makes no sense from an evolutionary standpoint. The human brain is a very expensive organ to maintain. It consumes a fifth of the total of all the oxygen and metabolic fuels that our bodies require, but it only makes up a 50th of the body's mass. A large brain also makes for a large skull, a fact that contributes to making childbirth more hazardous for humans than for other mammals. Humans are among the very few species for whom childbirth is significantly dangerous. Now, if 90% of this dangerous and expensive organ were unnecessary, selection pressure would have long ago pared it down, evolving us into strange-looking humans with tiny heads. By the way, Strange-Looking Humans with Tiny Heads is the title of my latest CD. Another avenue of evidence that we use all of our brain is that if any portion of it is significantly damaged, some sort of loss of function will quickly become evident. Yet a further line of evidence is that PET scans and functional MRI studies show the entire brain is active, doing something all the time, even during sleep. So let's drop this silly 10% myth for good and move on to the next brain myth. This is the right brain, left brain myth. It's the misconception that for each of us, our personality and potential are dominated more by one hemisphere of the brain than the other. Some common expressions of this notion might include statements like, I'm like really a right brain type of person. I'm like intuitive, artistic, and I just don't get math. Or, he's very left brain. He's verbal, analytical, and linear in his thinking. You may even have heard of methods for discovering whether you are right brain dominant or left brain dominant, or methods for unlocking the power of the hemisphere with which you are less in touch. I remember a best-selling book from the 70s entitled Drawing on the Right Side of the Brain, which used exercises that claimed to tap into the power of the right hemisphere in order to improve one's artistic skills and one's life in general. Unfortunately for those making these claims, recent brain research indicates that the idea that one hemisphere can dictate one's personality and potential is as outmoded as is the 10% of your brain myth. Let's look at the anatomy. Your brain is divided into two hemispheres. Each one has a number of jobs specific to it. The hemispheres communicate with each other through and are connected by a structure called the corpus callosum. Much of the early information on the two hemispheres came about from studies conducted by Nobel Prize winner Roger W. Sperry. As I said earlier, most brain myths stem, no pun intended, from going way too far in interpreting and extrapolating the findings of brain science. The right brain, left brain myth is a great example of this. People, being human, took Sperry's fairly preliminary findings and ran with them. While it is true that each hemisphere is different, with different tasks, we all use both hemispheres equally, all the time. This has been demonstrated through observations using functional magnetic resonance imaging. These studies clearly demonstrate that you receive input from both hemispheres, whether you are engaged in creative or logical thought processes. The neural networks on both sides are equally thoroughly wired and connected for nearly each of us. And precise locations in the brain for many different functions vary from person to person, and are not simplistically divided only by hemisphere. Let's move on to the next brain myth, which is the belief that being in a coma is like being asleep, and that people frequently emerge from comas rested and intact. First of all, what is a coma? The word encompasses an entire spectrum of neurological states, from persistent vegetative state on one end to a state of being minimally conscious on the other. In all of these states, brain imaging reveals that activity is at a far lower level than when the person is merely asleep. Movies and television contribute heavily to misconceptions about coma patients, way too frequently depicting them waking up on their own and exhibiting alertness and eagerness to resume their life. Here are a few facts. More than 50% of coma patients die without recovering consciousness. Less than 10% of coma patients ever recover their full mental and physical abilities, and usually only after months of physical and cognitive rehabilitation therapy. Another myth about the brain is that it can be kept young through the use of games and puzzles. This misconception has spawned an entire industry of brain game services, most of which make unfounded claims for their products. The truth is that extensive research has shown that playing a specific brain game makes you better at playing that specific game, but not much else. It results in no overall reduction in the memory and cognitive decline caused by aging. I'm an old guy, and I've been an avid crossword puzzle and Sudoku enthusiast since I was young, but I do it because I enjoy it, not because I think it has any physiological benefit. The myths I've covered today are only some of the popular misconceptions about the brain. Consider it good mental exercise to use your critical thinking skills to be on the lookout for others. Anyway, that's what I think. But I could be wrong. Let me know what you think, and check out old episodes of the Martial Brain Podcast at my website, rpmartialarts.com. And while you're there, impress your friends and support the podcast by ordering a Martial Brain t-shirt. I'm Jeff Westfall for the Martial Brain. The Martial Brain is produced by Raging Squirrel Productions in association with the Rising Phoenix Martial Arts Academy. If you like the podcast and would like to help it grow, go to iTunes or Stitcher and give it an honest rating and review. Contact me with questions about the Martial Brain or the Rising Phoenix Academy at our website, rpmartialarts.com.